We're going to read verse number 36 of Matthew chapter 9. Let's read it together aloud. You have your Bibles with you? Go. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, a sheep having no shepherd. Heavenly Father, bless your word tonight. Thank you so much, Father, for giving us the privilege and the opportunity to come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. And thank you, Lord, for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. So be seated. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I'm going to proceed tonight on the subject, for the love of souls. Tonight, perhaps, we're going to go deep into your hearts and find out if you love the souls of men. You do not need to be a pastor. You don't need to be an evangelist. You don't need to be a missionary to love souls. You only need to be a believer to love souls. You only need to have the testimony of saving grace to love the souls of men, for the love of souls. One out of every 113 people per second in the world will die this year. $53,097,345.13 a year. 145,472 a day. 6,061.34 an hour. 101 a minute. And roughly 2 per second die. As I flick my finger tonight, two people in the world just went into eternity. Two people. Every flick of my finger, two people die. And the more the population grows, more people die every second. Do you feel what I want you to feel tonight? And do you see what I want you to see? One out of every 113 people per second in the world will die this year. In the Philippines, roughly 6 persons die per 1,000 population per year. 2005 estimates. At that rate, and at our population pegged today at 87 million, that translates to 522,000 persons this year alone that will die in this country. I don't know if I'm one of them this year, or you're one of them this year, or any of your loved one will be one of those 522,000 people who will die this year. Out of 87 million Filipinos, roughly 80 million called themselves Christians of every kind. Roman Catholics, Protestants, Evangelicals, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Dating Daan, Iglesia ni Manalo, all of those, 80 million of them, call themselves Christians of every kind, Baptists, 7 million are Muslims and members of tribal indigenous religions. 10% of this 80 million claim to have a saving knowledge of Christ. That'll be about 8 million. Claim to have a saving knowledge of Christ. Perhaps we could be able to say about 8 million Filipinos are professing Christians. But how many of those 10% are truly saved? And how many of those who are truly saved love the souls of men? These are staggering figures that confront us. Looking at these figures, if 1,430 Filipinos die every day, 92% of which are professing Christians, 1,315 die and go to a Christless eternity every day. 1,315 Filipinos die without knowing Christ. Do you realize what I'm saying? Hey! Do you realize what I'm saying? Do you? No, you don't! You don't! No, you don't. You don't realize that. You don't care if 1,315 Filipinos go to hell every day. Do you? Do you care? No, you don't. You only care for yourself. I'm saved. That's it. I'm going to heaven. That's enough. I don't care for those 1,315. They can be my loved ones. They can be my friends. They can be my schoolmates. They can be my colleagues at work. They can be my neighbors. They can be strangers. I don't care as long as I know I'm saved. By the way, I do not know of anybody who is truly saved that is selfish of his salvation. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Yes. I do not know of anyone who is saved that will be selfish to say, I don't care. In fact, those who don't care are those who are going to hell. And those who care are those who are going to heaven. For the love of souls, I have two things tonight in my message, and one in my conclusion. I'm going to leave a question to you this evening. First is, to what extent did Christ love souls? Or let's make it personalized. to what extent did Christ love you? Because of that love, you're saved tonight. But when he saw the multitudes, the crowd of people, nung nakita niya ang karamihan, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion on them. Aren't you one of those? Aren't you one of those before? Huh? I'm asking you, people, aren't you one of those before? Aren't you one of those who were fainting before? Aren't you one of those who were scattered abroad? Aren't you one of those that are like sheep having no shepherd? Aren't you one of those before? And Jesus looked down and had compassion on you. That's why you're sitting tonight in a soft chair in an air-conditioned auditorium, worshiping God, singing the songs of the blessed, because Jesus had compassion on you. Kaya ka nakaupo ngayong gabi sa isang napakalambot na silya sa loob ng isang air-conditioned auditorium. Ano ko bakit? Sapagkat inibig ka ng Diyos. Nakarani ka ng ebanghelyo at ikay naligtas. Pero nung araw, kasama tayo doon sa taong nagkalat sa kalye na walang katiyakan ng kaligtasan, walang direksyon ng buhay. Katulad ng tupa na wala nag-aalaga. At walang naggagabay na buhay nila. Subalit dahil lang sa ikay naligtas at nakilala mo ang Panginoon, mayroon ng direksyon ng buhay mo. Mayroon ang gumagabay ng iyong buhay. Dahilan sa lalim ng pag-ibig ng Diyos sa iyo at sa akin. To what extent did Christ love souls? First, He wept for them. I believe this. I believe when the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion on them, I believe that every time He would see a crowd of people, He would weep. When He went up the pinnacle of the temple and looked down below Jerusalem, at kanyang nakita ang karamihan ng mga tao dyan na ginagawa ang kanilang negosyo at nagubutan ng templo at umibili at nagbebenta at nagpapakasal at lahat ng klase ng ginagawa ng isang tao ay ginagawa nila. Ang Panginoon nakatingin sa kanila at ang ating Panginoon ay umiyak at nagsabi, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, ilang beses ko yung nais na ilagay sa aking dibdib na katulad ng isang inahin na kanyang dinadala ang kanyang mga inakay at kanyang nilalagay sa ilalim ng kanyang dibdib. Ganun din ang nais kong gawin sa iyo. Palagay niyo kaya nung sinasabi ng Panginoon niya, hindi ito umiyak? To what extent did Christ love you? Or to what extent does Christ love you? He weeps for you. John 11:35 is the easiest verse to memorize. The Bible says, when He saw Lazarus, Jesus wept. And all those people there that were watching Christ Jesus when he wept, every one of them said how he loved Lazarus. And let me tell you this, folks, the way that Jesus loved Lazarus is the way that Jesus loved you and me. Not only did he weep for them, he lived with them. To what extent did Christ love souls? He not only wept for them, he lived with them. He did not separate himself from them like a monk that will go up the mountain and just have fellowship with the God he believes in. He lived with them. He went to the banquet of Matthew with all the publicans and sinners. Was even accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. He did not care. He did not care to be accused of being a glutton. He did not care to be accused of being a drunkard. He did not care to be accused of being with them. He did not care to be accused of having fun with sinners. Why? Because he loved sinners. That's why. And who the sinners are? You and me. Who are the sinners? 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 You and me. And he loved you. To what extent did Christ love souls? He wept for them. He lived with them. He died for them. He died for them. Jesus died for you. Have you forgotten that? Jesus gave his life for you. Have you forgotten that? Jesus went to the cross for you. Have you forgotten that? You who have been so busy with your work, you are so busy with your family, you are so busy with your business, you are so busy with your undertaking, have you forgotten Jesus died for you? Have you forgotten? Jesus shed his blood for you. That is the extent of Christ's love for souls. Secondly, to what extent did the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary and evangelist that ever lived, love souls? To what extent did he love souls? I would like to dwell more on this tonight, because he's just like you and me, isn't it? Saved, justified, regenerated, sanctified, separated, called of God, Paul is just like you and me. Si Apostle Paul ay katulad natin. Naligtas, binago ang buhay. Tinawag ng Panginoon na maglingkod. Siya ay katulad nating lahat. Walang pinakaiba. But to what extent did the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary and evangelist, love souls? First of all, he had that intense desire, an encompassing desire to see them saved. Romans chapter 10 verse number 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Don't tell me that, you know, that is Paul's desire because the Lord called him to be an evangelist. It's Paul's desire because God called him to be a preacher. While I am not called to be a preacher, I am not called to be an evangelist. But you are a Christian. But you are saved. But you are a child of God. Is it not that every heart of a Christian is the same? Is it not? The same motive? The same attitude? The same desire? Is it not? Is it not your desire that every Filipino learns of Christ? Is it not your desire and your prayer to God is that all Israel be saved? Is it not your desire? Well, you can say now, well, no, it's not my desire. Because if it's not, I question your salvation. But that is the intense and encompassing desire of the Apostle Paul to see them saved. And you know what he did? He lived with that desire. He did everything to get the gospel out. And you will be able to see it more as we go further to this message. Because secondly, to what extent did the Apostle Paul love souls? Secondly, he willingly suffered and faithfully lived to fulfill that desire. He willingly suffered and faithfully lived to fulfill that desire. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'd like you to look at that yourself in the Bible. Beginning verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry? What ministry? Huh? What ministry? Loving souls. What ministry? What ministry? Loving souls. That ministry. Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is this? This body here is called an earthen vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now look at that for a while. Look at who the Apostle Paul was. Look at his desire. Look at his attitude. Look at how he suffered. He willingly suffered and faithfully lived to fulfill his desire of loving souls. Thirdly, he maintained a good attitude even to those who were preaching Christ with the wrong motive and method. He was not judgmental. He was not condemnatory. He tried to understand everyone else that would like to reach out to them for souls. He tried to understand them. He maintained a good attitude even to those who were preaching Christ with the wrong motive and method. If that would only be the attitude of every church that calls themselves fundamental. If that is the only attitude of every pastor that calls himself biblical. To maintain a good attitude even to those who were preaching Christ with the wrong motive and method. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. I'd like you to understand that very well. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. And some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. You go back to verse number 15. Some indeed preached Christ even of envy and strife. Is that a good motive for preaching Christ? Huh? Magandang motibo yun? When you preach Christ? No, it's not. You know that, isn't it? You would not do that. But some does. And some also of goodwill. I think that when Franklin Graham preached the Word of God, he preached in goodwill. He was not motivated with other things but goodwill. He preached the Word. He might not be able to preach like me or having the kind of music we have, but he preached the gospel, folks. The one preached Christ of contention. Not sincerely. Can you imagine? People preaching Christ not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? So what? That's what it means. So what? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth. What? Come on, say it. Christ is preached. Say it. Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I'm not going to, again, join the Franklin Graham Crusade in the future. But I want him to continue preaching the gospel, folks. I might not fellowship with other churches because we might differ in some preferences. We might differ in some methods. We might differ in some doctrines. But I want them to continue to preach the gospel. Do you know why? Because I cannot reach everybody. If only we will maintain a good attitude even to those who were preaching Christ with the wrong motive and the wrong method. Yan ang dahilan kung ba't hindi lumalago ang gawain ng maraming mga Baptist churches. Mas magaling pa silang mag-condemn at mag-discriminate at mag-judge kaysa mag-evangelize. Instead of praising God because Christ is preached. Fourthly, He endured all things for the love of souls. Apostle Paul endured all things for the love of souls. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse number 10 says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I endure all things for the elect's sake. For what purpose? For what purpose does the apostle want to endure? That they may also obtain what? The salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Oh, may God forgive me as I tell you this. Humanly speaking, I've always wanted to quit this ministry. Because some of you people are no longer doing what you should do. I'm sick and tired of bad attitudes among members. I would like very much to get out of this pulpit and just leave this to you. But I am not doing this for anything else but for the love of souls. Just like what Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In conclusion, how about us? To what extent do we love souls? How about you, young people? To what extent do you love souls? How about you, parents? To what extent do you love souls? How about each one of us tonight? To what extent do we love souls? You know, the Lord did not tell us to make a supreme sacrifice. You know that? The Lord did not tell us to go to the cross and hang ourselves. But He told us something here. First of all, He told us to deny ourselves. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. It means this, folks, that when you come after Christ and you follow Christ and you serve the Lord, nothing is any more important but Jesus Himself. The Lord is not telling us to deny ourselves of blessings, to deny ourselves of food, or deny ourselves of wealth. No. The Lord is just telling us to deny ourselves of what would hinder us to obey Him. That's what it means. Naunawa niyo ba yan? Tanggalin natin yung mga bagay na makapag-ahad lang upang tayo makapaglingkod sa Kanya. Alright. Nasa kapangyarihan ba natin yan? Yes. If I don't want the ministry here, hey, if I don't want this pulpit, if I don't anymore want to preach the Word, if I just make a choice tonight not to preach God's Word here, I will make myself busy in Congress. I will be so busy, I have no time here. It's just like you. You know what I'm saying? Huh? It's just like you. Career people, I'm talking to you. And you're not earning more than I do. Come on! Naunawa niyo ba ako? Huh? Choice mo yan eh. Kung ayaw ko magsimba, kung ayaw ko maging faithful, kung ayaw ko maglikod sa Panginoon, kung ayaw ko na mag-preach, choice ko yan. Pwede kong gawing busy ang sarili ko. Sapagkat araw-araw, nakakatanggap ako ng formal function kahit saan. Hanggang Linggo. Naunawahan niyo ba ako? Ah,
Libre ang pagkain, libre ang hotel, libre ang travel, libre lahat. Magkakapera ako araw-araw, mga kapatid at mga kaibigan. Pwede kong gawing busy ang sarili ko para makalimutan ko lang ang pulpitong ito. I can do that! But I will never do that for the love of souls. Pero ang iba sa inyo, hindi kayo kumikita ng kasinlaki ng gusto nyo kadain. Gusto nyo maging abala sa mga trabaho ninyo na walang kwenta. Abala sa inyong pamilya na sinasabi nyo binigay ng Panginoon sa inyo. Pero nakakahad lang sa gawain ng Diyos. Abala sa mga bagay-bagay na inyong sinasabi na pagpapala ng Panginoon. Saan nakakita ng pagpapala kahadlangan sa kagawain ng Panginoon? Saan nakakita niyan? Pinagpala ba ako ng Panginoon na maging kongresista? Pinagpala ba ako ng Panginoon ng mga pagpapala upang maging hadlang sa panawagan na binigay sa akin? Hindi po. Sapagkat lahat ng binigay ng Panginoon sa akin must be complementary to what I'm doing now. Naunawaan niyo ba English yan? It's your choice. When you are being hindered to serve God, that's your choice. You realize that? Huwag niyong sabihin sa akin, wala akong panahon. Wala akong control sa panahon. Luko-luko! Choice mo yan. Ni wala kang makikitang congressman kahit yung mga Kristiyano dyan, mga, yeah, they have no time to serve God. They have no time to come to church. I would even talk to them. I would even, you know, just talk with those people and ask them, what church do they go to? And I ask them, how many times, how frequent are you in church? And they would, you know, kakamutin nila yung kanilang ulo, sabihin sa akin, Pastor, wala akong panahon. Wala akong panahon. Ako, pastor ako, may panahon ako mag-preach, may panahon ako mag-attend, may panahon ako mag-pray, meron akong panahon na tumunta sa simbahan ng Panginoon at maglingkod sa Kanya. Ikaw, wala kang panahon, naging congressman ka lang? Naunawaan niyo ba ako? Ha? Anong gustong Tagalog ang gusto niyo para maunawaan niyo ako? O gusto niyo tawagin ko pa si PUT ka para mag-interpret sa akin dito, para maunawaan niyo lalo? For the love of souls. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng denying ourselves. Hindi sinasabi ng Panginoon na maghihirap ka, magugutom ka, wawalan ka, magiging pulubi ka. Nais kong sabihin sa inyo, ang mga taong ayaw maglingkod kay Kristo at sumusuway sa kanyang sinasabi, kung siya ay Kristiyano, yan ang magiging pulubi at magiging at maghihirap sa buong buhay niya. Yan ang gusto kong sabihin sa inyo. O kaya naman, mayroong mga members dito, gusto nila palaging libre. When it comes time to spending, they want to spend. Do you know why God has blessed me? You know what one attitude I have, why God blessed me? Sapagkat ayaw kong magpalibre. Eh, ba sa inyong mga men, nagagaling yung mag-rebuke, pero kayo mismo, ang hadlang sa sinasabi ninyo. By the way, I'm not allowing any of my men to rebuke my people. Did you hear that? To deny ourselves. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng denying ourselves. Yung tanggalin mo lang yung mga bagay na nakakahadlang para ikaw ay maglingkod kay Kristo. What else? The Lord did not tell us to make a supreme sacrifice, but He told us, number two, to obey His mandate. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? I have commanded you to obey His mandate. Mark 16:15, and He said also unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. John chapter 20, verse number 21, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. The Lord Jesus is telling us to obey His mandate. Number three, the Lord did not tell us to make a supreme sacrifice, but He told us to be faithful to His church and what it stands for. Faithful to your church and what your church stands for. If this has become your church, you have the sacred and solemn responsibility to be faithful to your church and to be faithful to what this church stands for. Luke chapter 14, verse number 23 tells us, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and invite them to come in. Invite ba nakalagay? Ha? Members? No. Compel. Do you know what compel means? That's more than invite. Am I right? I think you know what compel means, isn't it? That's more than invite. That is inviting them, following them up, and getting them at home. Compel them to come in. That my house might be filled. Is it the Lord's will that God's house be full? Tell me. Is it God's will? You think God would be happy if His house is full? Huh? Then you're not making God happy. Did you make God happy this morning? I'm asking the congregations. Did you make God happy this morning? No, because His house was not full. Naunawa yung sinasabi ko sa inyo? Yun ang sabi niya eh. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. When God's house is not full, then we are not committed to His mandate. We are not faithful to His church. And we are not faithful to what the church stands for. The Lord did not tell us to make a supreme sacrifice, but He told us first to deny ourselves, second to obey His mandate, third to be faithful to His church and what it stands for. To what extent do you love souls? Fourthly, the Lord did not tell us to make a supreme sacrifice, but the Lord told us to love one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13 to 16. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Will the world hate you? Yes. Don't be surprised when the world hates you. Because the world will hate you. Those that live godly in this present world shall suffer tribulations. You try to be like the world, they'll love you. You try to go against the world, they'll hate you. Am I right? And this is one church that goes against the world. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Because what? Because what? We love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You hate your brother tonight? You look into your own attitude tonight if you're saved. Because I don't read that in the scriptures. In verse number 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I am willing to lay down my life for my country. I have already tested that on myself. But more so, I am willing to lay down my life for the brethren. Because God gave me love for the brethren. To what extent do you love souls? If you cannot even come to church every time the church door is open, you tell me if you're willing to lay down your life to the brethren. Some of you people only come to church when you want to come to church. And when you come to church because you have time to come to church, sometimes you want to be treated special. Oh, nagpunta ako sa church. Ayaw niyo ba nun? Ayaw niyo ba nasa church ako? Libre. Dapat matuwa kayo. Nasa church ako. Ako? In the first place, tungkulin mo yan eh. Kinakailan matuwa ako. Tama? Totoo lang, I have to confess to you, some of you people, I'm not happy when you're in church. You come to church just like panahon ako eh, pupunta ka sa church. Hindi ka nakikita kahit saan dito eh. Gusto mo matuwa ako sa'yo. I challenge you. Unahin mo yung business mo. Unahin mo. Gusto mo unahin. Unahin mo yung pag-aaral mo. Estudyante, unahin mo. Kasi nakita ko nung araw, yung mga magulang ninyo, na young people nung araw, inuuna nila ang Panginoon kaysang kanilang pag-aaral. Eh. Nakapasa. Nakagraduate. Pero active sa gawain ng Panginoon. Eh ngayon, iba na, inuunta yung negosyo kaysa Panginoon. Kasi ang katuwiran, noon naman, inuuna namin aming ang Panginoon kaysa pag-aaral namin. Eh. I mean, you know the meaning of consistency and faithfulness? Ah, kapatid, kung hindi ako naging consistent sa gawain ng Panginoon dito, akala nyo, magkakaroon tayo ng church? Ha? Patay ko nga kayo, kung hindi ako naging consistent sa gawain dito, kung hindi ako naging consistent sa pagpapahayag ng salita ng Diyos, palagay nyo kaya mga kaunti na ganitong church, maganap nga kayo ng simbahan sa buong Metro Manila na ganito kalaki. It takes consistency. It takes faithfulness. It takes devotion. It takes dedication. And it takes the love for souls. That's what it takes. Ayun, kung emotional lang ang inyong love for souls, you won't stay where you are. You'll be excited just to serve God for a while and then forget all about it. That's what you are. Pero, nakita nyo ang buhay ko, mga kapatid. I'm not a perfect man. I mean, I've been foolish once in a while and I've done wrongs and sins. But many of you have known my life for 30 years. If there is a man that has seen this church live and grow, it is this man right here. Nobody is longer than this man in this church. Did you realize that? Huh?
Walang mas matagal sa akin dito, sa church na ito. Ako ang pinakamatagal dito. Ako ang unang-unang member sa church na ito. Ako ang unang-unang member o ang unang-unang pastor.
Nag-quit ng iba? Nag-quit ba ako?
Ha? Hindi.
Minumura ako ng iba dyan. Nagmumura ba ako sa kanila?
Hindi.
Nag-backslide yung iba? Nag-backslide ba ako?
Hindi.
Hindi na nag-aaten ng ibang nung araw, very faithful dito. Nawala din ba ako?
Hindi.
Ang iba sa inyo, ilang backslide na ang naranasan ninyo? Eh, 10 taong Kristiyano ka lang, nakasampung taong backslidden ka na eh.
For the love of souls. To what extent do you love souls, folks?
Do you think if this pulpit and in this church don't love souls, we're going to reach more? No. We are reaching souls every day because God has given us love for souls. I hope yun na lang ang inyong titingnan sa mga buhay ninyo when you live for the Lord. The love for the souls of men. And you know what? If I could be able to just translate this message in your life tonight to each one of you, and you are going to really have love for souls as consistent as the Lord has and as consistent as Paul has, our church will grow more. There is no telling to what this church can do. Perhaps if we truly love the souls of men, there would not be any vacant seat tonight. Do you reckon? If we truly love the souls of men, not only do we have no vacant seat tonight, but we are going to have a standing room only. Not only every seat is taken, but every floor is taken. Every nook and corner is taken. Why? You do not ever question God's love for souls, but I question your love for souls. So stand. My first question is, are you saved? Do you know you're saved tonight? Ko ba'y ligtas? Because if you're not saved tonight, I'd like to ask you to be saved.
Kung hindi ka ligtas ngayong gabi, wala akong pakialam kung member ka ng church natin. Ikaw ay maligtas ngayong gabi.
Now, if you think you are saved, do you love the souls of men? Just like the Lord Jesus Christ loved you. To what extent do you love souls? Are you serving God? Are you obeying His mandate? Are you denying yourself? To what extent do you love souls? When you are able to even give your life to Him and surrender it all, you would not. Are you faithful to His church and to what it stands for? To what extent do you love the souls of men? You know, you will not be saved tonight if Jesus did not love you. But He loved you. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, if I love you, can you not also give that love to somebody else? If you love the souls of men, why can't you fill up my house? The Lord says. If you love the souls of men, why can't you spend some time during the week to win others to Christ? To be a witness of His grace. If you love the souls of men, why don't I see you in visitation and soul winning and follow up and discipleship? Why? Or you're just using God to get blessed.